Hey, hi. I'm Ty Terrell. I'm here with Marcella, who is the academic advisor for the football team. And I just want to ask you a couple questions today.
Okay.
So tell me about your occupation.
My occupation is the assistant athletic director for football academics. So basically, I'm just in charge of the entire football team and their academics. So I plan their class schedules, make sure that they're passing their classes. So I'll set them up with tutoring, run study halls. And I check grades weekly when they come in, send them to the coaches. And then if they need to drop anything, we'll drop before the drop date. If we need to add tutoring, if they're falling behind in something, we'll do that. If they're having a hard time with a class, like I'll sit down with the student and make sure we can figure out where they're struggling, where their weaknesses are, where their strengths are, just to make sure that they're doing well in school. Another reason for my job is to make sure that they are eligible to be on the football team in the fall. And that goes with the NCAA, so I will be in contact with coaches, compliance, and the NCAA to confirm that they can play football in the fall.
Okay. How long has you been in this profession?
I found this job when I was in my second year of grad school. So my grad school was 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was going into my second year. It was in the summertime, and I was in a class for student affairs, and a ton of people had to come in and talk to us about their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I thought I wanted to be working in the dean of students' offices. So like, if kids got in trouble or something, I would meet with them. I would like figure out what they did wrong, all that kind of stuff. I was really interested in that. And then someone came in and talked to me about what they did, and it was for the director of academic athletics.
Mm-hmm.
So it was basically the same thing that the Buck Harless does, but at DePaul University. And I was really interested in it. So I got her card and I emailed her about a potential job or even volunteering for free.
Mm-hmm.
And they hired me on as a grad tutor. So I worked with the women's basketball team, and I tutored them in any class. So even if I hadn't taken the class, I was just tutoring them in how to be successful in school. A lot of the freshmen come in and don't know how to study
mm-hmm.
correctly for a test or even write a college paper. So just setting them up with that stuff and teaching them that. And then they ended up asking me to be a grad assistant. So I would get like my tuition was partially paid for, and then
mm-hmm.
I got paid hourly. And I started working as a part-time academic advisor there for men's and women's soccer, and still tutored women's basketball. And then I fell in love with that job because
mm-hmm.
I just loved working with my students, and they'd come in and talk to me about whatever. So I applied to a ton of jobs, and I really wanted to work with football.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up getting the job at Marshall, and I've been here for 2 years. So working with the football team, and I love it.
Okay, so basically you sound like your inspiration was just like working with football players. So can you tell me a little more about that?
Yeah. A lot of the people that come in, well, not a lot, but a good percentage of them, like their high schools don't necessarily prepare them for college.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of like the challenge of getting these kids to find something in school that they like. They most of them don't like school. They just want to play football. And so for like my goal is just to make sure that they get a college degree so that when football does end, they can find some type of passion somewhere else and make money outside of
mm-hmm.
football. But a lot of people are just sometimes discouraged in how they might not be really good at school.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you don't really want to do anything you're not good at. Like, I don't want to, if you put me on the football field, I'd be awful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that. I want to do something that I'm good at.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that's how some of my student athletes feel when it comes to school. They don't want to do it because they're not good at it, because their high school didn't teach them the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Or their high school might have pushed them through because they were good football players for their high school, so they weren't going to fail them because then they wouldn't be able to play. And that doesn't look good for a school. Mm-hmm. So my goal is just to build their confidence and just show them, like, okay, you might, your weakness might be here, but look at all these other strengths that you can use to overcome that weakness and get you through. Mm-hmm. So right now, a lot of the guys are dealing with just starting spring ball, and they have all these papers that are due. So they're stressed out, and that's all they can think about is how their workload is really, really tough. And then they get discouraged because they might not like school.
Yeah.
So I try and break it down for them and say, okay, well, you might have this paper due Friday, but ignore that right now and work on the paper that's due Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And then when we get past that, then we'll worry about the paper that's due Friday. So I just find my inspiration in them just because they do have a lot mm-hmm. going on, and they do stress out. But once I help them and then they feel better about it, like, they can really overcome anything as a football player because of their schedules. And, like, mm-hmm. like, I'm just inspired by them to even, like, listen to me and ignore the fact that they're super stressed out. They're just like, okay, Marcel is telling me the right thing. I'm going to do it. And then they get it done, and they end up with good grades, yeah. and then they're all happy, and then they're going to do it again. And I just like seeing them work hard, and that's really what inspires me. So, and the fact that even though they don't like doing something, they still do it anyways.
Yeah.
So.
So, like, was this profession, like, a part of your original plan? Like, in pursuing career?
I think it was. So, ideally, like, when I started applying for jobs, I really wanted to go to a big school. Mm-hmm. Like, I applied to jobs at TCU. And where else did I apply? Auburn. And I was like, I really want to go to a big school with a really great program mm-hmm. for athletics and, like, a Power 5 school. But in reality, like, starting off at in this job, you're not going to go to a Power 5 school. You're going to go to a smaller school in a smaller conference mm-hmm. just to get your foot in the door. And coming to Marshall was just a big shock at first because I was at DePaul University, which mm-hmm. is pretty high in academics, so to get in you have to have a higher GPA.
Mm-hmm.
So coming to Marshall was a step down in academics just because it's not, the GPA is not as high to get in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I did want to go to a bigger school, but I'm really happy here, and I knew that, like, I would have to go to, like, it would be like a foot in the door school.
Mm-hmm.
The normal, like, span for a job is 2 years, and I've been here for 2 years, but I'm not planning on leaving anytime soon.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see the guys that I really started with graduate and then just kind of see where my job takes me. But, I mean, I never thought I'd be in Huntington, West Virginia. I thought I'd be in a bigger city, but I like it.
Okay. What was your education requirements in this career?
I did my bachelor's at Bowling Green mm-hmm. and I got it in human development and family studies. So that was like a mix of education
mm-hmm.
and counseling. And then from there, I decided I wanted to go into counseling. So I went to DePaul University and I got my master's degree in counseling with a concentration in college student development.
Mm-hmm.
So my main core classes were all counseling classes. So it's just being able to sit down and counsel somebody on issues they might be having, how to talk to somebody without, like, seeming, like, I try never to ask someone, well, why did you do that? Because mm-hmm. it's just kind of a pointed question, like, you did something wrong. And I, like, it teaches you how to talk to somebody the correct way in order to understand what they're going through
mm-hmm.
Without it seeming, like, rude, I guess. And also how to have a conversation with somebody without you actually doing most of the talking. So my goal is for them to talk to me more than me talking to them, mm-hmm. I guess. So those were my main classes. And then my classes after that were college student development based. So it's how to work with the college student, the ins and outs of higher education. So I learned about colleges and, like, all of the offices and everything like that. What college kids are going through developmentally, that kind of stuff. And then I had an internship my last year, and I actually did that at the Career Center at DePaul.
Mm-hmm.
So I met with kids and helped them figure out what they wanted to do after college. I learned how to give them like exams to help them find out what they like, what they dislike, what they're good at, and then also how to write a resume and a cover letter and apply for a job. So that's what I did.
Okay. If you were able to go back and like pursue another career, would you?
That's a good question. I really like what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I always think about like if I never did this, what would I do? And I always think I'd probably go into like something like medicine or something, but that's mainly based on what I would want in my salary.
Mm-hmm.
It's not based off of something that I love to do. Like, I don't love medicine or doctors or anything like
mm-hmm.
that. I just like what their salary looks like and the money that goes in their bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Because anybody in a college level job's not going to get paid what a doctor gets paid.
Mm-hmm.
But I do really love my job, and I would pick having a job that I like over having a job that pays a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
That's difficult, because then once you get older, you might think, shoot, I should have gone for the job that pays a lot of money, because now I'm struggling financially.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I'm happy where I'm at.
So. Okay, so, like, take me through, like, a normal day-to-day basis. Like, if a athlete come in with a bad attitude or something, how do you respond to that?
Okay. Normal day-to-day stuff is I'll come in and I also work with Sarah,
mm-hmm.
who's the other academic advisor for football. So one of us sends out tutor reminder text messages in the morning. So that's just like, reminder, Ty, you have tutoring at 3 o'clock for this class.
Mm-hmm.
That's just because we know that football players and just student athletes in general have really busy schedules, and they're not going to always remember when they have a tutoring appointment. And we do that because a lot of times the tutoring schedule changes,
mm-hmm.
because maybe the tutor is doing campaigning for student body president and can't make it that week. So then we have to change it to a different tutor because you have an assignment due.
Mm-hmm.
So, we just do that because we know that it's really hard to keep track of when your tutoring appointments are. And then after that, I will go through the tutor schedule or the tutor reports from the day before.
Mm-hmm.
So since it's Monday today, I went through Sunday's reports and I made it's like an Excel sheet that goes out to the coaches about
mm-hmm.
what the guys got done in tutoring, if someone didn't show up for tutoring, anything like that. I also do it so that if a tutor says someone didn't get their whole paper done and the paper's due Friday, I can go back and I can set up another appointment for them to make sure that they get the work done.
Mm-hmm.
Then we also have study halls throughout the day. So Mondays and Wednesdays, we have four different study halls and surround like 10 guys, maybe less than that.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have two different ones. And that's probably around the same amount of guys. I try and make it into study hall as much as I can,
mm-hmm.
but Sarah is really the one that's in charge of that, just because I'm normally in my office trying to reschedule a ton of tutoring,
mm-hmm.
or dealing with teachers that are emailing me or something that my supervisor has given me that needs to be done. So right now I'm going to be dealing with a lot of registration stuff,
mm-hmm.
so I might not be in study hall as much, but I'm always doing something for work. But I do try and get in there because that's when I get to work with guys or talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's kind of what my day-to-day is. There's always little things that pop up, like someone forgot to do something that
mm-hmm.
they needed to do and I need to get them a tutor, or a teacher can't get a hold of a kid and then I'm trying to get a hold of them. Just little things like that. But if a guy does come in and he's upset about something, I try to have a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's two different ways it could go. It could be a one-sided conversation where they just get upset with me the entire time,
mm-hmm.
and I can't get a word in, which has happened. And I understand. I try and do my best to understand their frustration, because football players are getting up early and doing mat drills, or they're getting up early to lift, and then they don't have time to eat because after lifting they go to class, and then they have to come to study hall or they have tutoring, and like I think that if I went the entire day without breakfast, I'd probably be just as cranky as some guys are. Mm-hmm. So when they do come in and yell at me, like, I don't like it because I find it very disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And then that does have to go to the coach. So if someone does come in and yell at me, I have to tell the coach because it's not something that's they should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
If they do start yelling and it's not a one-sided conversation, I try and have a good conversation with mm-hmm. them, maybe try and calm them down a little bit. And then usually it's about something that I don't have much control over.
Mm-hmm.
So like a good example is if someone's upset that they have a 10-page paper due Friday. I'll listen to them about it. We talk about why they're stressed about it. And then if they get upset with me, I kind of just say, okay, well, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
Because I really don't know what they want me to do because I can't help that there's a 10-page paper due on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then and then they're just kind of like, shoot, Marcella really can't do anything. All she can do is maybe set me up with tutoring or help me with my paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually the kid will tell me, like, I really just need more tutoring, or can you just help me with this?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll take the time out of my day to try and help them. I don't really have many guys that come in and yell, knock mm-hmm. on wood. I don't want that to happen. But they do get a little testy sometimes when they don't want to do something that I ask them to do. So if I ask them to do a homework assignment, I don't want to do that homework assignment. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm just asking you to do one. You don't have to do all of the homework that's due this week. Just go into study hall and work on one thing. And usually it ends up okay. But mm-hmm. I just try and have a conversation with them about why they're feeling the way that they are. And then how can we fix that as, like, together? Like, okay, why are you stressed out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is why you're stressed out. Well, let's break it down. Let's make it so you're not stressed out. And then they're usually better by the end of the conversation. So.
Okay. What has been, like, the biggest obstacle that you had to overcome?
I think the amount of students I have.
Mm-hmm.
So at DePaul, I only had men's and women's soccer, which I think was a total of 60, and then women's basketball, which there aren't many girls on a basketball team. Mm-hmm. So what, maybe like 80 kids? Less than 80 people I mm-hmm. had. And here I have 110. Because that's how many guys are on the football team.
Mm-hmm.
65 of them are ones that have to be in study hall and have to have mandatory tutoring.
Mm-hmm.
So to be in charge of 110 people's schedules and making sure they're getting their work done is stressful. Because in my mind, I think it's the student's job to get their work done. But I also have to remind them of it sometimes just because of the crazy schedules that they do have. Mm-hmm. And then also where they've come from. So not a lot of kids came from a background where they're good at time management. Like, mm-hmm. no one taught them how to do that. So just being able to teach at least 65 or more people how to manage their time and how to read a syllabus, how to make sure they know what homework they're doing,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And it's, I think the biggest thing is when, like, if you were to come in and, hey, Marcella, can you remind me to do this? Or, hey, like, I need tutoring for this class. Can you please schedule me another one on Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
I try my best to remember that because three other people could come in my office right after you did and ask me the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, shoot, what did Ty just ask me? So I'm trying to, I think that was the biggest thing. I've been a lot better at it. I write everything down. And I also try to make sure the kid or the student knows, like, I'm really busy, so if I forget, please just remind me. But I think that's been the hardest thing for me is because I, like, one kid might ask me one thing, and then another kid comes in 2 seconds later and asks me another thing, and then I might forget what the other one asked me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I feel bad because I'm like, shoot, I just forgot what someone asked me to do, and now they think I'm bad at my job because I forgot. But it's hard when you have 65 kids texting mm-hmm. you and asking you for things, so.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
So, like, would you suggest this field to someone else?
I would if they are interested in it. Like, mm-hmm. if they, I think you definitely have to have a passion for it. Mm-hmm. So if you just, like, want a job to have a job,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't suggest it. But if you like working one-on-one with college students and you like athletics,
mm-hmm.
I think that anybody could like it. Working in athletics is a lot different than working in, like, a normal office.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that there's a ton of different things that I would struggle with in a normal advising office.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that they don't have are coaches. So, mm-hmm. like, you have to be able to work with a coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to understand what college students are going, like, college student athletes are going through,
mm-hmm.
And their schedules and just, like, the stresses that they have in their everyday lives. So, but if you can understand that and you really like working one-on-one and you're good with people making sure that, like, coaches asking you to blah, 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 get everything done
mm-hmm.
a million times a day, then I think that that would be good if they want to do it. Like, mm-hmm. if someone were to come to me and say, I really want to be an athletic academic mm-hmm. advisor, I would sit down with them and I would talk to them about my job, and if that's interesting to them, then yes, I would definitely suggest it. But it's not for everybody either.
So if I wanted to be an academic advisor, how would you persuade me to be one?
Ooh, that's a good question. how would I persuade you?
Mm-hmm.
Probably just by telling you all the things that I really like about my job.
Mm-hmm.
If I really had to persuade you, then I wouldn't tell you any things that I don't like, because then that wouldn't even... You wouldn't want to do it, but I really love my students. I love watching them graduate. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you go to the graduation dinner and you see the videos that they make and they thank their academic advisors, like, when Tyree thanked me,
mm-hmm.
like, it made me feel, like, all the hard work that I put in with him
mm-hmm.
and, like, making sure that he graduated and he wanted to graduate and, like, he was actually thankful for me being able to sit down mm-hmm. with him and help him, like, understand his classes mm-hmm. and just, like, what he had to do. I like that. I love when, like, today when two kids came in stressed out and then they left my office and they felt better.
Mm-hmm.
Or when guys come in, even if they have girl problems, and they mm-hmm. talk to me about it, like, it makes me feel like they really want my opinion on mm-hmm. things, and they're like, Even when Artie Henry does this all the time, he might be bored and he doesn't have anything to do. He comes up here and he hangs out in my office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that makes me really love my job, because it makes me think I have some type of impact on their mm-hmm. life, and that I'm giving them something that they can take beyond college mm-hmm. sports. So, like, I have guys that have graduated the past 2 years that'll still text me and ask me, can you please look at my resume, or can I use you as a reference and stuff like that. So the fact that I'm still in their minds
mm-hmm.
like a year or two later makes me feel like I'm doing something really good with my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that everybody wants to feel that way. Like, you feel needed
mm-hmm.
and you feel like you're making an impact on someone's life.
Because
mm-hmm. obviously if you're making an impact, they've needed you for something.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm doing a good job. I think that's how I would persuade somebody.
Yeah.
And then I would just not tell them anything that, like, stresses me out.
Yeah. So in, like, a 5 to 10 year span, do you see yourself still doing this profession?
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I hope that at least in 10 years, I would like to be at a bigger school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to stay here forever. And I don't really think anyone's expecting me to. So
mm-hmm.
I'd like to be at a bigger school. And I would be fine with being at a bigger school in the same type of role.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were to be able to be, like, a director of an office, like, mm-hmm. I could be, like, my supervisor mm-hmm. in the future, I would like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'd be, at the time being, I'd be okay with being, like, at Clemson University as mm-hmm. an academic advisor. Like, I'd be okay with that
mm-hmm.
In 10 years, because that's, like, a place that not a lot of people leave
mm-hmm.
because they want to, like, they want to retire yeah. there.
Mm-hmm.
Especially just, like, in athletics. It's mm-hmm. a good place to, like, stay. So I would like that. That mm-hmm. would be my goal.
So in pursuing that, what steps would you take to, like,
Probably go to a bigger school first. Mm-hmm. So, or a bigger conference. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay here for a while just so I can get more experience. And that's not the only reason. Like, I want to see the people like that I made relationships with on the football team graduate with a degree. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd love to see that. And then move on to a bigger school. My dream is to go to a Power Five. Mm-hmm. I don't really care which one at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm not very picky.
Mm-hmm.
But I would just have to stay and gain more experience and apply to jobs. I haven't applied to any because I'm not planning on leaving right now. So
would that help you, like, build your resume?
Yes. Like, I think it looks really good on my resume for me to stay here. Mm-hmm. It already looks good that I've been here for 2 years because mm-hmm. in higher education, the normal time, like, a good amount of time to be at a college in a job is 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's okay for you to start looking somewhere else and leaving.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that in grad school, and I think that's kind of the norm in college.
Mm-hmm.
Just higher ed jobs in general, not just athletics.
Mm-hmm.
My goal is to see the freshmen that I started with graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the freshmen from last year, I would like to see them graduate before I leave. And I think that would be my, like, when I graduated grad school, that's what I told myself, is the kids I start with, I would like to see them leave.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be there for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's just because of my passion for the job, not, like, I could go somewhere now and make some more money somewhere else, but mm-hmm. I don't want to because I want to stay with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that would be the same wherever I go after this. Like, I would just want to stay for 4 years because you do build relationships with mm-hmm. students, and my goal is to get them to graduate, and I help them do that. So why would I not want to see them do that?
Yeah.
So, but it does look good on a resume for me to have 4 years here. Like, mm-hmm. wow, she really liked her job.
Yeah.
So she must have stayed for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, because I want to see my kids leave
mm-hmm.
and be successful. I want to help them do that, so.
Cool. So, one last question. How has this, like, impacted your life?
I found a job that I really love.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have that before. I mean, I had it at DePaul, but it was part-time. And I think I've been become a stronger person
mm-hmm.
because I never worked with college males. Mm-hmm. I've always worked with, I worked men's soccer, but most of them were international, so it was different. But I'm working with 110, 18 to 22-year-old men.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's taught me a lot because it's a lot different than working with women.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different personalities on the team, so it's taught me how to deal with someone who might be who might not work well if you yell at them.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's taught me to work with someone who only responds to that. So I think it's just become, it's made me a better person in this job, and I've become stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Especially working with football coaches as a girl, like, they're used to yelling at guys. So if mm-hmm. they come over here and they get angry with me, like, I've been able to take it. Whereas before I probably would have cried.
Mm-hmm.
And now at DePaul, if I got yelled at by a coach, I'd cry. But now I'm just like, okay, well, I have to realize that they might yell at their kids all day.
Mm-hmm.
So it might come over to my building, but then they end up realizing, like, I'm yelling at a girl, like, I can't yell at her. So I think that it's just made me a stronger person, and I think I'm better at my job than I used to be because
mm-hmm.
I'm working with 110 students that are all different.
Yeah.
So, yep.
Well, I thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for interviewing me. How long was that?
It was like 30 minutes. Yeah.
Did you have to have a certain length?